In the United States, November 11th is celebrated as Veterans Day. Today, the lesson by Brother David Johnson. In this one, we will read about a Roman soldier. The Roman soldier is Cornelius, the centurion, using Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. This is the Words of Life program. Each week, we present a gospel program that includes prayer, songs, and a lesson from God's Word. We are sponsored by prayerful contributions of Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers, and we are thankful that you are listening today. We now praise our Lord with song. Father, we come to you in prayer, thanking you for all of your wonderful blessings, including the salvation that is found in Jesus. Thank you for providing for our needs. We are grateful for all of our listeners, and we pray that you will bless each person with the strength and faith, health, and peace. And please be with each one who shares the good news of Jesus and meet their needs for effectiveness, provisions, and safety. And Lord, when Jesus returns for His church, help us to be ready to meet Him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present Cornelius, a Centurion.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God, share the truth of the Word, and to live the Word of God before others. The title for our lesson is Cornelius, a Centurion. And the text is Acts, the book of Acts in the New Testament, chapter 10, verses 1-8. Please listen to the Word of God. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, At about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called 2 of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. This is the word of God. May he add his blessing to the public reading of his word. In our nation, the United States of America, on November 11th, once again, we pay tribute to our veterans and their military service. As in many countries the world over, veterans, military men and women are honored and recognized in their nations. Today, veterans are regularly recognized, respected, and thanked for their service to our country. That has not always been the case in America. When I was serving in the military in the early 1970s, during the Vietnam era, soldiers, sailors, and airmen were sometimes disrespected. Some even in Christendom, to this day, believe military service is anti-Christian and a detriment to society. Certainly, Christians have a right to believe as their convictions and consciences so lead them. However, the scriptures also shed some light on the issue of military service and Christianity. Let's go back to the early days of the church and some of the surprising first Christians. God's Spirit was changing many lives, even radically. Converts to Christ were pouring into his church from diverse backgrounds. Even beyond being Gentiles, many were receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Among the first was a Roman military officer named Cornelius. Because of frequent outbreaks of Jewish rebellion and violence, Roman soldiers were stationed throughout Palestine to keep the peace. Cornelius was in a difficult position. He served Rome as a Roman officer, and, of course, the Romans were a conquering pagan empire. Yet during his duty years in Judea, he had come to dedicate himself to also serving the God of Israel. So let's delve deeper into our text, Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. Verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. Caesarea was named after Caesar, which became a title for emperor of the Roman Empire. Caesarea was the capital of the then Roman province of Judea and residence of the Roman governor. So naturally, a large Roman garrison was headquartered in Caesarea. Cornelius is a Latin Roman name which belonged to a distinguished family of Rome. Therefore, Cornelius was probably an Italian of Roman blood. A centurion was an officer who commanded at least 100 men. A Roman legion at full strength consisted of 6,000 men and was divided into 10 regiments or cohorts of 600 men each. Therefore, each Roman legion, had 60 centurion officers who were considered the backbone of the Roman army. The Roman historian Polybius described a typical centurion as, quote, "not so much venturesome daredevils as natural leaders of a steady and sedate spirit, not so much men who will initiate attacks and open the battle as men who hold their ground and, when worsted and hard-pressed, are ready to die at their post." End of quote. The Italian regiment, or cohort, was made up of Roman citizens. Most Roman soldiers were not Roman citizens. So Cornelius would have been a distinguished officer both militarily and socially. Verse 2, he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. God-fearing was actually a term used by Jews which referred to Gentiles who had abandoned their polytheistic, many gods, pagan worship, pagan religion, in favor of worshiping the monotheistic, one true God of Israel. Being God-fearing, Cornelius read and followed the Old Testament scriptures and generally practiced the Jewish rites. But he was not a full proselyte or convert to Judaism, because evidently he had not subjected himself to circumcision. So, to be clear, a God-fearer was a seeker of the one true God, but not a full convert to Judaism, and certainly not to Christianity or Christ. Cornelius's devotion to seeking God was proven, verified, validated in that he voluntarily gave generously to the Jewish needy and prayed regularly to the one true God. We should understand, and this verse verifies, that good works, good deeds, even in the name of the one true God, such as benevolence to the poor and regular prayer, still never save anyone. Salvation in the church age is only by the grace of God, undeserved merit, undeserved favor, through faith in Jesus Christ. Cornelius was not yet a believer in Christ, but he earnestly was seeking God. Therefore, God sent Peter to testify to him of Christ. Cornelius is a prime example that God reaches out to those who are God-fearers and those who earnestly are seeking God. Those who sincerely seek God will find him. He will make himself known to those who are earnestly seeking him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Here, rewarded with eternal life, with salvation, being heaven-bound by the grace of God. In Cornelius's case, because he was devout in being God-fearing and had a seeking heart, God prepared Cornelius to become a Christian, which means a Christ follower. Acts chapter 10 and verse 3 says in part, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God. So God sent Cornelius a heavenly messenger instructing what he needed to do, that he needed to send for Peter, who would explain what and who Cornelius needed to know about. God works through a variety of ways to reach people, primarily today through the written scriptures, the Bible, or through other Christians, or through circumstances and events. It is up to us to listen and to act upon God's promptings. God can be found. Let's fast forward to the end result, as Peter related it to the Jewish believers in Jerusalem as to what Cornelius had experienced. In Acts chapter 11, verses 13 and 14, it says, "He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and said, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.'" This message is recorded In the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 28 through verse 48. Basically, to summarize, Peter told Cornelius and his household regarding Jesus Christ, quote, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This as according to Acts chapter 10 and verse 43. So what does all this have to do with military service and Christianity? First, Cornelius was a military leader, even in an occupying army over Israel. Yet God, the God of Israel, sent Peter to him as he was God-fearing and his family in order to hear the message of Christ so that they could all become Christians and be added to Christ's church, because God knows hearts, those that are earnestly seeking him. Secondly, there is not even a hint that Cornelius's chosen profession of Roman army service was detestable, completely unworthy to receive a message from God through his holy angel. Thirdly, there is no evidence that Cornelius had to quit his profession as military officer upon becoming a Christian. That military service was incompatible with Christianity, with the Christian life. Fourthly, moreover, even the Jews at least respected Cornelius, in spite of his Gentile military occupying position, because he was indeed God-fearing and gave generously to those in need. So, military service men and women can certainly be model citizens, contributing to society today as well, and as model citizens should be respected for their important service to our nation or to any nation. I know from personal experience, as I was stationed myself in the year of our Lord 1973 for one solid year to what we referred to as the Rock, that is, the island of Okinawa, part of Japan. And I remember very vividly that one of my fellow Marines, United States Marines, would regularly walk the streets in Okinawa, testifying and passing out tracts about Jesus Christ, the gospel, translated into Japanese. Now, I never did this. I wasn't a Christian at the time. But this young United States Marine was a missionary for Christ and a Marine in military service. The two need not be incompatible, need not conflict. The United States Marine Corps motto is Semper Fidus, which means always faithful to country, but can also mean always faithful to our God. They need not be incompatible, but in fact can both be true.
If you are not yet a Christian, please understand that you need to first truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The book of Acts in the Bible also shows us that people who believe need to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and then be baptized by immersion. Find a good Bible-believing church to help you with this. And if we can answer your questions, please write to us. To receive a free CD of this and next week's program, please write and ask for CD 1845. That's 1845. We look forward to hearing from you, so why not write to us right now? Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. That's Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. That's wolradio@att.net. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs, thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time and station for another program from Words of Life.